The first reading today, we hear about our Lord silencing the Sadducees. And the Sadducees, remember, people who don't believe in angels, and they don't believe in the resurrection, they don't believe in some of the spiritual things. But what is interesting is not so much that Jesus simply tells them that they err about some of these things, but he says, you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. So in other words, they're picking and choosing what it is that they want to believe. They don't want to believe in the resurrection. They don't want to believe in life after death. And yet the Lord shows them right there in the Old Testament, when God speaks of himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that he is the God of the living, not of the dead. Again, they don't want to hear this. So then the Pharisees come along. Now they believe in all of those things, and so that wasn't an issue for them. So they're probably rejoicing that he had silenced the Sadducees, but they were hoping at the same time the Sadducees would be able to come up with something that was going to be a problem for Jesus. So now they come along and say, okay, so which is the greatest commandment of the law? Any Jewish person would have known the answer to that, because every time they had to put on a phylactery, they had it on their forehead, literally, a little box that was literally connected to their forehead with a tiny scroll in it that says, Shema Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is God alone. Therefore you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart and your whole soul and your whole strength. They not only had it on their forehead, they had it on their wrists when they put on the phylacteries, and every single day they saw it on their gate and on their doorpost, because it was to be on the gatepost and the doorpost of every Jewish home to be able to remind themselves of this. So on one hand, it's a rather stupid question. Ultimately, they're testing him to see if he's Jewish. Do you believe what the scriptures say? And he repeats for them, what is the greatest law? You shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart and soul and strength. And then take it to the next level and you will love your neighbor as yourself. Now he's turning the tide on them, because it's very clear right in the Old Testament about this, but they didn't want to do that. Remember, these are some people who in their self-righteousness thought that they were better than everybody else. They looked down on others. And so they didn't want this idea of loving your neighbor. They liked the idea of loving others who were like themselves, but Jesus talks about that too, remember. He says, if you love only those who love you, what good is that? Don't tax collectors do the same? If you're kind only to those who are kind to you, what good is that? Pagans do the same thing. And so he's not just calling us to love the people that we like and who like us. He's calling us to love the people who don't like us and whom we don't like, the people that we don't agree with. That's difficult. But isn't that exactly what he did? You think about what God does. He gives every single person a guardian angel. Everyone, including the Satanists, including every single person that he knows is going to turn against him. And he still gives them all a guardian angel. And it's marvelous enough to be able to say, well, God lets the sun shine on the good and the bad and the rain fall on the just and the unjust. But then you look at it and he says, and you say, well, he gave them all a guardian angel. He provides them with their food. He gives them everything that they need. And still they turn against him. And so we have to see that this is what he's asking of us, to love the people who we would consider to be our enemies, which is exactly what Jesus told us to do and told us to pray for our persecutors. So again, we can ask our own selves, how am I doing? When the topic of my enemy comes up, what's my response? Or, Lord, bless that person. Do I feel in my self-righteousness that I'm better than they are because look what they do or whatever it is? Or do I pray for them because, but for the grace of God, there go I? And I suspect that if I see them as my enemy, they probably see me the same way. And so if somebody asks them about me, oh my goodness, you're going to get a whole litany of all the things that they have against me. And here I am in my self-righteousness thinking that I'm better than they, and they can give you a whole litany of all the reasons why they're better than me. Or at least why I'm just plain no good. That they're probably right. But that's not the point. The question is, how do we handle when we see that? I mean, if you see somebody who is basically nothing, do we step on them or do we pray for them? So again, a great question for all of us to look at. So our Lord talks about the fact that in heaven we will be like the angels. We will not be angels. We are human persons, and we will always be human persons, and we cannot become anything other than human persons. Even our Blessed Lady, who is higher than the angels, is still a human person and cannot be anything other than that. Where we are in heaven depends on how much we love. Period. There is no other way. So we will be like the angels, who are sent to serve, who are the messengers between God and us, who bring the word of God, the will of God, to us. That's what we'll be doing in heaven, worshiping God, loving one another, just like the angels do. But the one thing that we can do that angels cannot is to show what the love of God looks like in a bodily form, in external practices, because the angels don't have bodies. We are the only creatures in the universe who are able to show what it is to be the image and likeness of God and bring the love of God into a form that other human beings can recognize and experience. That's why this is so incumbent upon us. It's not a matter of wait until we get to heaven to be like the angels. We're supposed to be like them, or working to be like them, even now. The angels love God. And they love the people. They love their neighbor. There was a group of them that said, no, I will not serve. I will not be humble enough to accept it God's way. Look at where it got them. The same place it will get us if we have that same attitude. The only way to heaven is charity. Obviously, based on our faith and our hope, that the only way to heaven is charity. That's why the Lord said it's the greatest commandment. That's what we have to be about. That is the one commandment that Jesus gave us. He didn't give us any others. And I suppose you could say, well, he told us to go out and teach all nations and so on, but he didn't say, this is what I command you. But he said that with one thing. I command you, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I love you. That's a command from the Lord. That's what he is expecting of us, to have the charity toward others. I've told you many times why this becomes so imperative now. I mean, it's always imperative. It's what every person for the last 2,000 years has been judged on, is their charity. But now we are in a time when we're going to see the church torn in two, where we are going to see total confusion, where we are going to be in darkness, And what people are going to need more than anything is the light of charity. That has to be. So we need to be focused on the Lord. Don't worry about everything else. The church is going to crash. Let's be clear. So who cares? Let it fall. It's the Lord's church. He's in charge. He'll take care of it. Just get out of the way so it doesn't fall on top of you. And he'll rebuild it. Remember, there's a resurrection that comes after the death. The Pharisees, the Sadducees didn't believe in that. They got themselves in trouble. They didn't know the scriptures or the power of God. You do. You know them both. God can raise up, just as St. John the Baptist said, God can raise up from the rocks people who are going to praise him. God will raise up the church. Don't worry. It's coming back. It's not going to be gone for long. But it will be crucified. It's going to die. And are you going to be willing to be there with her on that same cross? Are you going to be able to point people to Jesus? Just keep your focus where it belongs. Everybody's getting all worked up. Oh, now look what they're doing to Archbishop Vigano. Did you expect anything different? Come on. Of course we got to expect this. And guess what they're going to do to you? The same kind of stuff. How are you going to handle it? Are we going to lash out in anger because this is wrong and unjust? Or are we going to stay at peace because we're looking at Jesus like St. Stephen did when they were about to put him to death? And he was at peace because he had his focus on the Lord. We need to think seriously about this, because the confusion that is going to be coming to the vast majority of people needs some clarity. And you have it if your focus is on the Lord. If your focus is on the externals or on yourself, you're going to be in the same boat as everybody else. If your focus is on the Lord, then you can lead other people to the Lord. If your focus is on you, you're going to lead other people to yourself. That's not going to get them very far. You can't save them. So put the focus where it belongs. Stay at peace. God is in control. He's given this time to his mom. She has the whole thing all worked out. Stay with Jesus and Mary. Nothing to worry about. Why panic when you already know it's going to happen? Really, think about that. If I know that the whole thing's going to come down, if I know they're going to close the churches, if I know that these things are going to happen, why should I panic if I start seeing it happen? It's like, yeah, I knew that. Be at peace. Keep your focus where it belongs. Don't worry about the rest of the nonsense, because that's all it is. Just keep your focus where it belongs. Love of God, love of neighbor. The focus must be Jesus Christ. Period. Anything else, we're going to be led astray and we're going to lead others astray. Keep your focus where it belongs. And then do what our Lord has asked us to do, to love God with our whole heart and soul and strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. Then we will shine like light in the darkness. Then we will be able to bring people to the Lord. Then we will be able to point them to where salvation lies. But if we don't have it, we can't give it to anybody else. So it's pretty simple. We're going to be living in some really tough times pretty quickly. Don't worry about that. God knows what you need. Remember, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of righteousness, and everything else will be given to you. So our task, seek first the kingdom of God and his way of righteousness. Love God and love neighbor. That's his way of righteousness. Live as we're supposed to live. Do what we're supposed to do. And be at peace. Keep the focus on the Lord, and then let Him do everything else.